Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I will leave out the second part of the listed presentation, that is food security and climate change, the impact of this thing on food security and climate change because of the paucity of time. So in this presentation, I will only focus on what is listed here, which is soil carbon storage in agroforestry systems. The second introductory part is that a large number of my colleagues and associates have been involved in this study, and none of them is listed here. We have had a series of publications in a number of journals and all that, so I'll come to that later. So what basically this involves is that it's a summary of a short synthesis of our ongoing studies on carbon soil carbon sequestration under various agroforestry systems in different ecological regions in five countries, mostly tropical. So I want to bring everybody on the same page by saying that what we mean by carbon sequestration is the process of removing carbon from the atmosphere and depositing it in a reservoir. And it entails the transfer of atmospheric carbon, especially carbon dioxide, and its secure storage in living pools. This is the definition of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC. So by way of introduction again, just to recap, agroforestry is the interface between agriculture and forestry. And in other words, it's the purpose for growing of trees and crops and sometimes animals in interacting combinations for a variety of purposes. And this is estimated to be practiced on over 1 billion hectares of land by about 1.5 billion farmers, especially in the tropics. This is based on a large comprehensive study undertaken by the World Agroforestry Center, also known as ICRAF, in 2009. Modern agroforestry emerged in the tropics in the 1970s and 1980s as an approach to addressing the existing land management problems such as deforestation, land degradation, food and fodder and fuel wood shortages, etc. The agroforestry practices are also common, are also found in the temperate regions of the world. For example, this slide here is a listing of the five major agroforestry practices here in North America. And I'm just not going into all the details of that, but basically alley cropping, forest farming, riparian buffer strips, silvopasture, and windbreaks are the five distinguished agroforestry practices in North America. Now, coming to carbon sequestration, agroforestry and carbon sequestration, the UNFCCC allows the use of carbon sequestration through afforestation and reforestation, that is A&R, as the greenhouse gas mitigation activities. Agroforestry is recognized as one of these A&R activities. And CDM allows industrialized countries to invest in mitigation projects in developing countries, and this is an attractive opportunity for subsistence farmers in the developing countries who are the major practitioners of agroforestry to benefit economically by quote-unquote selling carbon. Thus, agroforestry is perceived as a win-win strategy for both developing and industrialized nations. So this is the premise upon which we have proceeded on this set of studies. And the general objectives of the study were to quantify soil organic carbon accumulation and sequestration in different types of agroforestry systems in a variety of ecological and geographical conditions, determine carbon storage in different soil fractions at least up to 1 meter depth, because as we have seen here also this morning, most of the carbon studies are limited to the surface soils, which we believe is not accurate. Well, it's accurate, but it's not appropriate. Then also to quantify, wherever possible, the carbon contribution in a combined system of trees and crops, wherever possible, quantify the carbon contribution by trees and understory vegetation, which by and large in the tropical conditions, particularly the C3 plants offered to trees and C4 plants, the grasses, herbaceous species, understory grasses particularly. we could not do this study in all systems because we did not have those conditions. And this study was again, this set of studies was again based on the premise of, on the procedure of fractionation of soil, fractions, having the carbon content in different fraction sizes, okay, micro aggregate fractions, which is 250 to 2000 microns, micro aggregates in the 53 to 250, and then the less than that, still 10 plate combined. I have seen that some studies have also gone further in fractionation procedure. And basically, we generally believe that the carbon in the larger fractions, in the macro aggregate, this one we believe is relatively new carbon that has been added to the soil recently, as opposed to this carbon, which is the carbon that has been there for a while. When I say a while, it could be decades or even centuries. So this is again another explanation of the whole concept here. The mean residence time of this carbon in the macro fraction is only about 1 to 10 years, whereas in the micro it is 10 to 100 years, and in the in silt and clay aggregates, the minus the fraction, it's more than that. The enzyme activity, the carbon-nitrogen ratio, and all those things are pretty high. That means this is subject to decomposition rapidly, whereas this one is more stable, more recalcitrant. And then the binding agents are also listed here. And the effect of management practices, as we have seen also in the previous presentations, is quite high in this fraction, in the macro large fractions, whereas it is not in the case of the more stable types of carbon. So our studies extended our five countries, as I mentioned. One of them was in Florida and silver process system in the northern and northwestern part of Spain. There's an extensive silver pastoralism called Dehesa. That's a grazing system. Then in the multi-species intensive home garden systems in Kerala in India. Then we had what's called the parkland system, another extensive ranching system, animal grazing, free grazing of animals in the widely scattered trees in Sego region in Mali in West Africa, representing sub-Saharan Africa. We have one system in the shaded cacao system in the Bahia state in Brazil, and also another system in the silver pastoral system, the extensive, large areas of plantations being interplanted by grasses for in an intensive manner for animal production, supporting animal production. So that's the silver pasture in the Minas Gerais state in Brazil. And as I said earlier in the beginning, several associates and colleagues and students were involved in all these studies. They still are. So these are some details of the different study locations. Of course, we don't have the time, nor is it necessary to go into all the details of the different study locations. As you could visualize from the different scenarios presented, they represent a wide range of agroecological and climatic conditions. Though the procedure for soil sampling and analysis consisted of, at all sites, we sampled the soils up to at least 1 meter depth, some cases more than that. They were fractionated into three classes, as I mentioned, 250 to 2000, 53 to 250, and less than 53 microns. Carbon contents in each fraction, of course, was determined. The again, as I mentioned, stabilizer top ratio was used to determine wherever possible, wherever we had a tree plus grass system, the relative contribution of trees and grasses to soil carbon. And this, of course, we have large pool of data set, and this is a very brief summary of the differences in carbon, change in carbon content in agroforestry systems compared to the nearby non-agroforestry systems. And we have grouped that into three categories depending on the types of systems. Here, this is agroforestry versus agricultural systems. Okay, this is sites 1, 2, and 3, and here the 1 is a pine plus pasture plus treeless pasture in Florida altisols, and number 2 here is the pasture under birch trees in northern Spain in inceptisols, and this one is the home garden system versus rice paddy more than 50 years in Kerala, in India, again on insect disorders. Now, in this one, these two study sites, they are categorized as or shown as near the tree versus away from the far from the tree, and these were from the HESA system in northern Spain, and actually in central Spain, and under trees versus away from trees in the parkla system in West Africa, in Mali in West Africa, both under Alphysaurus. And these are the agroforestry versus what you call the forest type of system, and they were the home gardens in Kerala, in Subdisols, cacao and the shades in Bahia, in Brazil, in Oxisols, and the Bacchiaria grass was eucalyptus silver pasture, and the Minas Gerais state in Brazil, again under Oxisols. So this is a synthesis of several lots of data, and basically what we are trying to say here is that the change in carbon in agroforestry, which is explained here, this is agroforestry, carbon content in agroforestry minus non-agroforestry, whatever the system is, expresses the percentage of the non-agroforestry system. So you can see that, okay, one more thing, that we have done that, group that in the 0 to 50 and 50 to 100, and the depth classes, of course, varied. They are mostly horizon classes. Depth classes varied up to, you know, they are not these two. They were several. There were sometimes four, sometimes six depth classes. So we combined all these things. So basically, in the lower horizons of soil, we find that there is more carbon in the agroforestry system compared to the corresponding agricultural system with which it is compared. And in this case, when you are comparing that, okay, one other thing is away from the tree, you know, there is less carbon as opposed to near the tree, okay? Now, in this situation, we are comparing, say, a shared cacao system, which is very much like a forest or better than a forest in terms of carbon cycling because of the heavy litter fall there and very rapid decomposition and cycling that's going on there. So this is sometimes some of the agroforestry systems were even better than the nearby forestry systems in terms of carbon storage and I would say sequestration. So this is a synthesis of all these data sets. And another synthesis is here. This bars on the left side is the percentage of action in the whole soil, and this is the bar on the right side, carbon content in that particular fraction. So here I have presented data of the micro fraction and silt and clay fraction only. We did not present the data of the micro fraction here. And in the transfer of this slide, I find that this particular thing that should have appeared here also, that it's gone. But we have all this data with us. And basically, what we are trying to say here is that the total organic carbon stocks vary considerably along soils. Of course, not a big deal. But within a soil, carbon is not distributed equally among the different size fractions. So I think it's very, very important that when we talk about carbon, we need to go one step further and decide and determine and say, okay, well, how, first of all, the importance of the bulk density has already been mentioned here. We should make it a point to report how it was estimated, what's the bulk density, and if possible, go one step further and determine the way in which the carbon is stored in the soil, what sort of fraction size is holding it, and stuff like that. That will help us a lot in understanding these things in a little better manner. We have, as I said, had a number of publications in the past couple of 2-3 years in Advances in Agronomy. We have a comprehensive chapter just came out, JEQ, Global Change Biology, Environmental Management, Plant and Soil. So, I mean, we have quite a bit of peer-reviewed publications that came out of all these different studies. So I think we can say some of these things with a little bit of confidence. So summary of results will be tree-based systems compared to treeless systems under similar conditions store more carbon in lower layers of soil. The high tree density means high SOC content, especially in the upper 50 centimeter soil and the less than 53 micron, that is more stable carbon. The organic carbon stocks under longer-term agroforestry systems, such as home gardens and shaded perennials, are comparable to that of natural forests. And in sparse tree-density systems such as the dehesa, the soil stores more carbon near the tree than away from the tree. And C3 plants, that is, trees contribute to more carbon in the stable fraction, silt plus clay size fractions, than C4 plants in deeper soil profile. And the traditional systems with large carbon stock seem to have limited potential for sequestering additional carbon. If the carbon sequestration is a transfer of carbon from and taking it captured from the atmosphere and storing it in some other sector, the ability, the potential for sequestering more carbon is limited in the case of systems that already have lots of carbon. All right, that's it. Thank you very much for your attention.